Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, use your key, use your key. Every chain. Come on, Tim, say it. There is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, break every chain.
That's it, there is power.
There is power.
Come on.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on, you declare it.
There is power.
There is power in the name.
In the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to
break every chain.
There's an arm. Break every chain, break every
Heavenly Father, hallelujah, we come tonight, dear Father, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We said thank you, dear Father, for another opportunity just to come together, another opportunity to breathe in your breath, another opportunity to choose with the choices that you've given us, to choose life or death today, right now, today, in the way that we walk, life or death, in the way that we speak, life or death, in the way that we teach, life or death, hallelujah, on our jobs, we're making that choice, life or death, and I thank you for giving us that opportunity to choose you, to choose to live with you, to choose, dear Father, to cast all of our cares to you, hallelujah, thank you, Lord Jesus. That there's nothing too big, nothing too high, nothing too wide, hallelujah, that we can't cast to you, that we can't get the burdens off of us when we're laden and heavy laden, and we can't be refused to carry it around and pulling in it and snagging it. But we can go to you and we can lay it down and we can leave it there. Hallelujah, that we don't have to start wars over the things that we don't understand. We can lean not to our own understanding, but we depend on every word that you've spoken to us, because we know that your word will never come back to you void. We know that your word said heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will still be the word, delivering good news to us, delivering us out of the outer darkness into the light, your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your word. And so the chains that was holding us down and had us bound and others called us out and threw us away and locked the door, but those chains, hallelujah, are falling all around creation right now. Somebody has been given that doctor's report that it's over, but you said right now is the beginning. Right now, somebody said that I'm going through this battle right now, financially, mentally, emotionally, and I just can't seem to get my grip. And every time I think that I'm going to be okay, I seem to slip and slide. But we cast those cares to you right now, Father God. Right now. Hallelujah. We can start to hear something. Oh, the ones that abound, let them start to hear something. Give them more hope, dear Father, for the ones who told you you're hopeless, you're going to die. Let them start to speak the words, I will live, I shall not die. Hallelujah. And I thank you, dear Father, that your word is so true, that you said, according to every man is appointed a day of death, an expiration death, an expiration date. We know not that time and that hour, but we know that we're all going to expire. It's appointed to every man and woman, boy and girl, only has to die one time. He said, and then judgment is coming after that death, after that expiration. But you said, I've already overcome the world, those trials, those tribulations that you're facing that seems like it's so high that it can't get around. I've already taken it down for you. I've already crumbled it for you. I've already overcome the world. And I've showed you through example that I've already taken the sting out of death. So I don't care how bad that car crash looked from here on this side, how bad that disease may have eaten up somebody's body and it looks like they died in horrible pain. God said, if you cast your cares to me, then you are under the umbrella
of I've already taken the sting out of death. I've got you. I've already gone ahead of you. Mm. And I've prepared a place for you that you can spend your eternity. Hallelujah. So we thank you, dear Father, for your love, your power, your peace, your understanding, your joy. We thank you, dear Father, for all that you are as you give it to us, that we share it with our sisters and brothers, that we apply that in our everyday lives. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for being a forgiving God. Hallelujah. So we come before you tonight. All of our burdens, all of our concerns, we cast it to you. And we leave it there. Oh, what needless pain that we try to drag around and carry around and we cry about it. We lock ourselves in our closets trying to avoid and escape the darkness of this fear, of this pain, of these divorces, of all the things that are going on outside of our homes that we're trying to lock it out so it doesn't come inside. But you said that fear not, fear not, fear not. All of these things, be anxious for nothing. I've already come, overcome all of these things. So because we're overcomers tonight, because we know in these days and times that it's not good enough just to be conquerors, we got to be more than conquerors. That means that we're not on our own, but we're walking in your pathway of righteousness. We're handing it over to you. We're following your directions. We're allowing you to lead us. So as we decrease tonight, your study that you have given us tonight, may it be presented the way that you've given. Hallelujah. Open up the ears of your beloved children to receive all that you have for them. July 21, 2023. And we give you all the praise. We thank you in advance for just being here with us. Loving on us, giving us peace, giving us your power and your joy as we let our understanding go to the side and we pick up your word and the truth that you reveal every one of us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Wherever you're at, I pray that you're able to just decrease. I pray that you're able to decrease. Everything that you think that you may know right now, just kind of lay it to the side. It won't go anywhere. It'll be right there. And just open your hands and stretch your arms and just say, God, I receive you. I receive your love. I receive your word. I receive your teaching. Fill me up with all that I need, that I may not even realize that I need. Fill me up in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I'm excited to be with you again tonight. I am Minister Vaughn out of sunny San Antonio, Texas. If anybody needs any sunshine, I'm sure the whole world right now is pretty much covered with God's sunshine, right? But if you need a little bit, we have some extra heat here in San Antonio. If you would like to come and borrow some of our heat, come right along and borrow some. Get some of it wrapped around your flesh, your skin, okay? It'll give you a beautiful tone, I tell you that. Hallelujah. And you may want to return it around February. We'll take it back. If that's a deal, you've got something going on. Amen, amen. And I come to you tonight. This is the word of God through the voice of Vaughn Ministry. Again, it's the word of God through the voice of Vaughn Ministry. And tonight we rejoice with you, whether you're in the archive and you're listening, whether you're in one of the chat rooms, or whether you're live with us here on the line tonight. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. And I pray that whatever it is that you're needing from the Lord, that you believe that he's going to do just that. If you're needing to locate the ministry, maybe you need to have prayer requests and you want us to just stand hand in hand, toe to toe with you, and whatever that you're believing God's going to move and do in your life according to his word, you can always reach out to us at walkwithmelord@yahoo.com, walkwithmelord@yahoo.com. God bless you. Tonight we're talking about separating the sheep from the goats. Separating the sheep from the goats. And I'm sure you heard a lot. Many different people have spoken, and God has given word to others that you may have heard them share with you. And you yourself, as you walk and talk and breathe God's breath, and you look and you see the words that you see, the people that were living amongst us, that's right here with us. And you have your own veration that God has given to you, and you may be sharing with others. Because in this day and time, it is so many that are just getting thrown over to the side. They're not for sure what to believe. A lot of times they say, Minister Vaughn, what is happening right here? What's really going on? And so it's so good to get into the Word of God. It's so good to get yourself in an intimate position with the Lord that you're able to go to him and you can ask those questions and allow him to reveal something to you. Because I can tell you and tell you and illustrate to you, but it's something about the revelation of that personal, intimate relationship when God reveals himself. He is the Word. When he reveals himself to us through his word, I tell you, that's just the powerful thing that touches you in so many ways. And that's another thing I like as we get started here. You can go back through that word daily. Every day, God may show you something different. He may show you a different version, a different way to look at the word. And it all is connected the same. It's just like a Rubik's Cube. You turn it and you turn it and every side of it. You know, it speaks about the holy angels and how they were surrounded by the Spirit of God. And every time that they would go around, they would see a new power. They would receive new joy. They see something different. They feel something different. Oh, that's the way he is in our lives. The more you reach for him and grab for him, you're touch something different each time. But it's all working itself together for the good of those who love the Lord, who are called by his name and his purpose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, let's get started, shall we? We're going to be starting tonight Matthew 25, 31 through 46. Matthew 25, 31 through 46. I pray that you have your word with you. I pray that you have that sword. Hallelujah, and you're ready to deep dive into the Word of God. So we finally made it. Today actually marks the end of the church year as far as what we're studying and reading. And so when we start to celebrate the ultimate reign of Christ, this is where we're at. We're starting here where this is going to be his final story that he's given to us, a leaving with us. And so it also means that we've come to, again, the end of the year of Matthew in our cycle of scripture reading. And so it's the end of the cycle of Matthew in our reading, which means that in today's message, we're going to hear the final words of Jesus, this final sermon on the end of the age. So the three parables that have come before our closing statements, and we can definitely hit and miss and go back over those again because I love it when he gives us stuff in parables and breaks down the parables for us. But just like the parables that we have come before us, the parable of the sheep and the goat describes what is happening on this final day of judgment. So I want you to just take a deep breath. Just take a deep breath and get ready for what you are about to hear. Take a deep breath wherever you're at and get ready for what you're about to hear, because this is Christ's last words on the subject. It's the end of the story, some would say. Okay? So when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, I just get caught up just right there just thinking about that when the Son of Man returns and all of his glory and all of the holy angels are with him. Ooh, that's a mass right there. All of the holy angels are with him. Then he will sit on the throne of his glory. Now he's coming in his glory. And he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him. We're fighting, we're fussing, we're doing so much. But you're going to have to stop, because all, I know we got a lot of different teachings out here says that some nations is going to be left here and some nations won't see it or hear it, or some nations will not even be included. But it tells me that all of the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goat. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Somebody said, I'm going to hide out. I don't believe in this Jesus, so I won't be attending. No. The word of God says just the opposite, right? All nations will gather before him, and he will do the separation. I know a lot of times we get impatient and we want to do the separation, but he said he will do the separation. Because he knows all, right? He feels all. He sees all. Nothing gets past him. So who better to do the separation than the Creator himself? So it said he will separate the goat and the sheep, right? He will put the sheep at the right hand and the goat at the left hand. And then the king will say to those at his right hand, who's at the right hand? He will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left, right? And we're with it. Here we go. King will say to those at his right hand, the sheep, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I want you to take this personally. I want you to put your name. I want you to hear the king speaking to you. Come, Sarah. Come, my brother James, that you are blessed by my Father. You will have now inherited the kingdom that has already been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's before you even thought about it. It was already prepared for you. Hallelujah. And then he's going to say to those again, we're talking about the sheep that has been placed on the right hand. It says, or I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. And then the righteous will answer him. The sheep at the right hand. Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to eat, or gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you as a stranger and welcomed you, or we saw you naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family. You did it to me. Then he will say to those on the left side, who's on the left? We got the goats, right? So now he's speaking to the left side. You that are accused, departed from me in the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. You departed from me. Before I can dismiss you, you already have made the choice, life or death. Hallelujah. You've already decided you would be cursed instead of healed. You already decided that you would live in the darkness instead of walk in the light. Because maybe at the time in the darkness, there was a lot of stuff going on that got your attention. Maybe in the darkness that you saw flashing lights that others couldn't see that was in the day. But now it's time for a reward. And he's speaking to you on the left. Depart from me into eternal fire. This eternal fire was prepared for the devil and his angels. That's where I'm sending you to, by the choices that you've made. He said, for I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. I was naked and you did not give me clothing. When I was sick and in prison, you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Lord, when was this? And then he will answer them, truly, I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. You know, the thing that strikes me about this familiar parable is the element of surprise. The element of surprise. You know, throughout the final sermon, Jesus had repeated the warning that the final judgment will come when we least expect it. But when the Son of Man comes in glory, it will be a big surprise to everyone. You know, back in chapter 22 of Matthew, we heard of a wedding guest who's surprised to be thrown out of the party because he isn't dressed correctly. He was thrown out. He was surprised to be thrown out. He accepted the invitation. Hallelujah. And he was surprised that he was thrown out according to his preparation for the feast, for the gathering, for the wedding. The foolish bridesmaids, that's another surprising story that we look at in chapter 25. The foolish bridesmaids at the beginning of chapter 25, they were surprised that they had run out of oil. And they were further surprised to be shut out of the wedding feast when they arrived after the doors had been locked. You know, they went, they accepted the invitation. So they went and they had their lamps, but they carried just enough because they, in their own mind, was leaning to their own understanding. And in their understanding, it was, let me just fill my lamp up. Let me go. I will meet him there. He will come. We will sup together. My bridegroom will receive me, and I will receive him. They didn't think about it. My thoughts are different than his thoughts. They didn't think about, are you willing to wait on the Lord? They didn't think about, how long should this be? Should I carry more oil? Why they're described as foolish bridesmaids. And when it was time and they saw, oh, it's time, he's coming, they looked down and they have no oil for their lamp. So they look at the other five bridesmaids and they like, share with us, give me yours. And they're like, we don't have any extra. What we have, we already used for this time duration that we've been waiting, because we bought enough to hold us for as long as it takes. Are you willing to stand as long as it's going to take? Are you willing to fight as long as it's going to take? Hallelujah. So the foolish bridesmaids, you know the story, they run back. Let's go get some oil. And while they were gone, the bridegroom came, and he accepted those that was there, prepared, waiting. Hallelujah. And he locked the door once they were inside. So now it comes back, and they run back, the foolish bridesmaids, and what? Oh, Lord, we are here. Where's everybody? They're beating, they're knocking. Lord, let us in. Let us in. Said, I know you not. I know nothing about you. What is it that, again, that element of surprise, right? That element of surprise. And then the third servant in the last story that we were talking about last week, again, was surprised that his master had expected him to invest the talents that had been given to him. You know the story. He gave out five bags of coins, silver coins, to one servant. He gave two to another one. He gave one to another. And the five multiplied it. He invested and gave five back when it was time for the return. When the master had come back to see, what have you done? The two did the same. He invested, came back. When the master had came back, yeah, there you go. Not only the two do I have, but I doubled it for you. I did something. There's some action involved in here. Hallelujah. But the one said, I knew that, you know, I know you. I know your character. So I love you. You don't want me losing anything. So I just buried it. And here it is, right back to you. And he was called a lazy servant. What was given to him was taken from him, given it to the one that had the five, because he knew he could trust the investment. What are we doing with what we have been given? Are we standing around looking at somebody else and what you have been given and what you're doing with your talent? And, oh, I wish I just don't have the wisdom to do this, or I don't have the wisdom to do that. So instead of bearing it for a safe haven, you instead of using it, you're bearing it because you just want to be safe. You want safekeeping. You're not leaning and dependent on the word of God. You're not speaking to him and asking his directions to give you wisdom. Hallelujah. Are you looking at them and say, I don't have those degrees. I don't have a spouse to help me like they do. I don't have the position or title at the job to do what it is. But right now, what do you have? What's in your hand? What's in your hand? And now we see that both the sheep and the goat are surprised to learn that they have encountered the good shepherd whenever they met the least of these, whenever they fed the hungry, whenever they did not feed the hungry. They was doing it unto the good shepherd. Again, they're surprised. Again, the sheep and the goats asked a question. God bless you, Area Goat 917. They asked the question once again. When did I feed you? When did I see you naked and not clothe you? When did I visit you when you were sick? When did I not visit you when you were sick or you were in prison? The shock. He said, whatever you've done to the least of us, you've done it unto me. Whether you chose life or death, whether you chose to help or not help, whether you chose to feed or not feed, whether you chose to walk past or to stop and render aid. And now we're in shock, both the sheep and the goat. One is a surprisingly outcome of this shock. Get to know that what I've done, God has not, it has not went to a blind eye. God has saw every good deed. It's not my works, but it's in my heart. It's what I've done from my heart. God has received that. And then the goats, on the other hand, it's like what I thought about doing, what I could have done. Maybe I would have, could have, should have if I had more time, or I just kept procrastinating and putting it off, and I just didn't get the time. That's a blame of God again, right? So that's one of my pet peeves when people start talking about, you know, I didn't have the time to do this, or I didn't have the time. I was just so busy. So we're telling God, He, for our sake, time is for us. That's a gift that He gave to us. He's in eternity. He didn't need time. So you're telling me He got it wrong when He gave us 24 hours? Or are you really saying you need to prioritize what has been given to you to do the things that God is speaking for you to do? But we don't want to hear that, because that points the fingers back at us, right? It points it right back at us. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And so I think the reason both sheep and goats show surprise is also the same. When responding out of our primary identity, it doesn't occur to us that, you know, we're doing anything special or we're doing anything unusual. It isn't that caring for the poor or the sick and the hungry makes you into a sheep instead of a goat. Just doing that doesn't make you, put you in one category or another. But caring for the poor, the sick, and the hungry simply just shows the world whether you already are a sheep or somebody has forced you, you know, to just stand in a sheep's clothing. Somebody's forcing you, check this over the box. I don't want to help them, but, you know, I guess I do it because my job says I have to care for the sick. My job says I have to go give these foods to the hungry during this certain time of the year, and I'm not doing it anymore. And then there's some that are just, it's in your heart, it's embedded in you. It may be something that your mother has taught you, like mine. But it's something that gives you joy. Like on my birthday, I want to give to somebody more than I want to receive from me. The things that I celebrate on an everyday basis, I want to see what needs do you have? How can I help here? Hallelujah. But it's something on the inside that you get excited about giving. The more that you give, the bigger that you give, the more excitement that you get, the more love that you feel, just loved by giving, not the receiving part so much. So the way you respond to the least of these, it just demonstrates where your true identity lies. If you know that you are that person, that if you saw someone over here injured, you said, I'm not getting involved in that. Yes, I'm walking on the other side. I'm crossing over. No, I'm not getting involved over there in what happened. I know they want to find out any information. I'm not getting involved until it happens to us personally. And then we want everybody to get involved, right? So because if your identity lies in yourself or what you think makes you important in this world, your titles or who you married to or where you live or what you drive or whatever it is, you won't see the needs around you as something that should matter to you. Let's just say it one more time. Because sometimes we, you know, the word can go past us and we point at everybody else except to ourselves. Because, again, if your identity, sir, ma'am, lies in yourself, you're going to look at you the way you think that you look. Anything somebody else tell you, you said, I'm not receiving that. They don't know anything about me. You don't know me. You've heard it over and over again, right? Or if your identity lies in what you think makes you important in this world, then you won't see the needs around you in your family, on your jobs, or even on the streets, in your church. You won't see those needs around you as something that should matter to you. You said, that's their problem, not mine. I'm not picking up somebody else's problem. I got my own problem, and that is their problem, not mine. But when you identify with Jesus, you see Jesus in others, whether they are sick, poor, hungry, in prison, on the street corner. You see them as Jesus sees them, and you see Jesus in them. When meeting the Lord in the least instead of the greatest, the righteous will respond out of righteousness, and those who are not righteous will not respond. You don't have any way of gathering that information. You would not respond to the righteousness because you haven't been in that. You haven't chosen to be in the family of Jesus Christ and to do as he would have you do, not according to your understanding, but according to what? His plan for your life. And that's where the world comes in this paradox. This parable right here, because too often we don't see others as Christ. We don't recognize Christ and the people that we encounter every day. We don't respond to each person in the same way that we think we'd respond to Jesus if we met him on the street. My sons used to do some skits when they were younger. And one of the skits that they had put together, and I saw it many times before. But one of the skits was just, they had everything in the room. They started, it was just, everything was array. It was thrown here and there. And then they started, you could see them, and we speed up the film a little bit, and they get everything to it's just perfectly clean and neat because you could tell they are expecting somebody. They're expecting someone. And they wanted it to be the best, right? And so it came to a point that someone knocked at the door, and they went to the door, and it was somebody who was begging for food. They were hungry. And the actors in this skit, which happens to be my two sons, they went to the door hurriedly, and they were just like, no, 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 no. And as they're speaking to the beggar and trying to get the beggar to go away from the door, they're looking up and down the street trying to see if the visitor that they are expecting is in sight. So they're turning the beggar away. Go, go, go. They go back and sit down. And before they know it, after a little while, another knock. And they go and they excitedly open the door just to find somebody that was saying, hey, I'm tattered. I'm thirsty. I need clothing. It's cold. Do you have anything that could help me? And again, as they scan the street left to right, they're expecting somebody important. Mm-hmm. So they dismiss this person. No, no, no. Never even looking to see, is there anything I can just hand them right now to drink or a blanket to stop the bitter coldness from them? No. It was so important to get rid of them so they could receive their special guests when they came. Hallelujah. That third knock that came to the door was that special guest that they had been waiting so anxiously for. And that special guest was not ready to receive their hospitality. And they're like, why, Lord? We prepared this area for you. We've spent time doing this, waiting on your arrival. And then just to see, but I've already been here over and over again, and you denied me all that I asked for. No, my Lord, what shall I offer you? Are you hungry? We have bread. Are you thirsty? We have water. Do you need? Are you cold? We have clothing for you. We can clothe you. What do you need? And he reminded them just what this, just we're speaking about tonight. Whatever that you have done to the least of us, you've done to me. When you turned away the one that was sick, the one that was hungry, the one that was in prison, you were turning away me. Yes. When you turned your nose up at the one who was sitting on a bus stop in 107 degrees or in the bitter coldness or in the rain, and that mother is trying to get her kids together and try to get them from the bus stop to the house, or trying to scrap up money in the grocery store to pay for the food in her basket, and you stood there with a pocket full of money and offered not to help. What you've done to the least of thee, you've done to me. Not just to the greater, but to the least of thee. Not that you donated a big check to this great fund, this great foundation, in front of many, in front of the world, that your name may be lifted up because of a check that you've signed. But the things that you have done to the least of thee, you have done to me. So again, we don't respond to each other in the same way that we think that we would respond to Jesus if we met him on the street. Or we get excited singing about, when Jesus comes, I can only imagine that all the things we'll do, we'll bow at his feet, we'll do this, we'll do that. But that's what we think. But when we meet him on a daily basis, we don't see Jesus inside of me and you. No, that's just Vaughn. Come on now. That's just James. That's just Tony. They don't know. I'm not looking at that like that. But what would happen if we recognize Christ in each of the people that we encounter every day? You said, well, I don't know now. I don't know, Minister Vaughn. It's kind of hard because the people I'm around in my neighborhood that I encounter every day, they don't act like they have any Christ inside of them. But what if we did start to, even they, we would recognize even in them, recognize some Christ inside of them. He is the creator of all. And what if we started to respond to each person knowing that he or she was Jesus? How differently would we behave towards the person who rings up our groceries or hands us our lunch through the drive-up window? How would we react to that obnoxious coworker or the person who acts like they're better than we are? How could we be changed if we knew that each unexpected meeting was really a chance to look into the eyes of Christ himself? Yes, you. You see it. If you would start to just see some, God, show me how to see that. And just as he once came to earth in human form, Jesus will come again to rule as Christ the King. So in the meantime, Christ comes amongst us as one of the least of these, asking for food, in need of shelter, calling our attention to the thirst for living water that we see all around us, if we would only look. And Jesus comes in a way that makes him accessible to us in our need. He comes get for what you have. He knows what you have because he's the giver. He's the giver. Caroline Lewis, he writes, at the end of the day, to claim Christ as King, to believe in God's reign, has to be claimed, be a claim on our presence and not just the future glory of our kingdom. We're waiting to one day, I'm going to get there and I'm going to celebrate him here. There, but she writes that we got to start celebrating in here. How we decide to live matters, not just for ourselves, not just for those immediately that's around us, our four and no more, but for the sake of the reign of Christ here and now. So what is the point of the parable of the sheep and the goat for us, you and I, living in 2023? In the here and now, do we really need another story of division and separation in this time of growing polarization in our society, in a season when what we long to hear is a word of encouragement and hope? Do we really need to be reminded about judgment and that we all are appointed to die once? Do we really need to be reminded about that? Yes, we do. In fact, I think Jesus tells these stories about judgment at the end of time in order to offer us some encouragement and hope. And not so we would think those people who don't believe like I do are going to get what's coming to them when Jesus separates the sheep from the goat. That's too many that are really living life waiting. You're going to see one day. Remember, it's the love of God that compels a man to him. It's not the wrath of God. It's not the wrath of God, my sister, my brothers. He wants none to perish. Why are you putting them in perishment? Hallelujah. The Hebrew word often translated as righteousness in our Bibles is rich in meaning. It means justice. It means God righteousness. But what we often forget is that God's justice includes both judgment and mercy. And that's a good thing for all of us to remember. He reigns on the just and the unjust. Just as both groups of bridesmaids fell asleep as they were waiting for the bridegroom, both the sheep and the goat failed to recognize Jesus in the people they encountered. The people you see every day, again, both, all of the bridesmaids fell asleep as they was waiting for the bridegroom. All of you working in that same office, you may address, or in, even in our churches, that you love the Lord. But both the sheep and the goat fail to recognize Jesus and the people that you encounter, the sick and the hungry, the naked and the imprisoned. In most of our churches, that has a prison ministry, or they may have an intercessor's ministry for street ministry, those departments are the least amount, they're the least often signed up for. Because people are more comfortable to just walk inside of the building, sit down, go to the choir, go to your little thing, and you get comfortable in doing. Nobody really wants to go outside of the walls and talk to the sick or the hungry, go to the prison. Neither those who cared or those who ignored the least of these. Neither of us, as we look around, all of those even in your household, neither those who care or those who ignore the least of these shall see Jesus when they meet him. They didn't see Jesus as that beggar. They didn't see Jesus as the one that they were ignoring. They said, I care. Yeah, I care. I care about the people that are hungry. I care about the sick. But not enough to do anything. Not enough to see Jesus inside of them, in their struggles. And that's the point. Whether you recognize him or not, whether your lamp is lit or not, Jesus still comes. Whether you believe in him or not, Jesus still comes. Jesus shows up for us in the mundane, everyday interactions we have with each other, and even in pandemic quarantines, we still interact with others every day, if only in the way that we think about them. Even there, Jesus comes to us. So remember that Jesus tells all these parables about the time when God's reigns will be fully established in the content of Holy Week. Jesus will wash his disciples' feet and tell them, I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you in John 13:15. But just before that happened, a couple of Greeks approached Philip and said, sir, we would see Jesus. John 12:21. John's gospel tells us if they get to have that face-to-face interview, but isn't it interesting that they ask in a way that they do, we would see Jesus? Or we want to see Jesus? I have a feeling that if Jesus had been in earshot, he may have responded, you would you? You would see Jesus, but would you see him? Well, just look around. Just look around. Hallelujah. Just look around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The parable of the sheep and the goat teaches us to stop looking for Jesus. Stop wishing you could see him face to face and start realizing you see Jesus in every single person you encounter. Start seeing Jesus in the ones who annoy you because they won't wear a mask or properly in public. Start seeing Jesus in the ones who annoy you because they keep telling you how to wear your mask or don't wear a mask. Start seeing Jesus in the ones who need the food we put in the blessing box and the ones who wipe it out daily. Start seeing Jesus in the ones who agree with your political opinion and the ones who clearly do not agree with your political opinion. Start seeing Jesus in the ones who are victims of crime and the ones who commit those crimes. Start seeing Jesus in the oppressed and the oppressors, the ones who've hurt you and the ones that you've hurt. Start seeing Jesus because he's there, waiting for you to recognize him, waiting for you to receive him, to accept his forgiveness, to enter into his joy. And when that happens, when you start seeing Jesus in the least as well as the greatest, they won't be least or great anymore. They will become part of us, one in Christ. And you may be surprised that when you see Jesus in them, they will be able to see Jesus in you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for covering us. Thank you for revealing yourself to us in a way that no man or woman can do. And we give you all the praise and glory because you're worthy, worthy, worthy. We thank you for every caller that was here on the line with us tonight. Hallelujah. May their ears be open to receive. May their hearts be changed for the good news in their spirit. Hallelujah. Let them be able to identify their walk of life and the behavior that they are exhibiting. Thank you, Jesus. Show them the truth and the way that you see their actions. You see their behaviors. Show them what you see. Hallelujah. Don't let us get caught with no oil in our lamp. May the shock be that all the goodness that you have placed in our heart and have directed us to do, and we have followed those things because we love you, whether we understand it or not. We love you enough to do the things that you have placed inside of us to do, that you're that earning inside of us to just do these things. May the shock be because those was you. We have done what you have wanted us to do. The words, my good and faithful servant, is what we hear. Not be because we're goats and we have turned or put it off what you've asked us to do today. We have procrastinated and our time is up. And we found that we have not did the things that you've asked of us. That we have not saw you in all the different people that we've work with and communed with and sat beside and spoke with on a daily basis. That our hearts is open now to receive even the ones that disagree with us. That we remember to look for you. That we remember to pray for them. And as we close, we ask you, dear Father, you bless every household that is represented, whether in the archives today or 10 years or 20 years from now. Continue to bless their hearts, their minds, their finances. Hallelujah. Bless them in a way that only you can do, Jesus. Bless them in a way that only you can do. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, for turnarounds this week. Turnarounds in medical areas. Turnarounds. Breakthroughs in research, breakthroughs and turnarounds for the what the doctor have already come to the end of nothing else they can do. The turnarounds, total restoration, people coming out of comas, unexpected miracles happening in their bodies. The turnaround. We thank you, Jesus, in advance. I thank you, dear Father, for unexpected checks. Hallelujah. Financial breakthroughs, and that we can be trusted with the talents that you put in our hands. That we just don't get fat off of whatever it is you put in our hands. But we present it right back to you for directions of what you would like for us to do with what you've given us. That we understand the more that you give us, the more that we can do according to your plan in our lives, not to our own understandings of what we're going to do and who we're going to bless. We thank you, Jesus, for jobs, people receiving invitations to jobs, even more than they have expected. Thank you for opening those doors for jobs. Thank you for opening those doors to hear from lost children that you haven't heard from in forever, that they're ringing you, they're texting you, they're knocking on your door, and they have love and forgiveness. Forget about what you, the state you may see them in. The tattered clothing may even be alcohol on their breath, but God has led them right back to you for something. So when you see the Jesus in them, may they also receive the Jesus that's in you. Hallelujah. This has been the word of God through the voice of Vaughn Ministry. Hallelujah. I had so much fun with you tonight. God bless you and keep you until we meet again. Don't forget, check your behavior. What is your behavior saying about you? Do you even know the difference between the behaviors or the characteristics of the behavior of a sheep and a goat? Who do you want to be? Who are you choosing to be? Who do you choose to be? It is your choice. It is your choice. Until the next time, let's just go. I want you to know that I love you with the love of Christ. That you are loved by God. What do you want? Do you want God? I want God. I want God. We'll see you next time. Again, Minister Vaughn signing off. Amen.
There are no questions, there is no doubt. You look at me and feel proud. You're not embarrassed. You're not ashamed. You stand and wonder of what you've made. I am loved.
Jesus, thank you for being loved by the Lord. See you next time. Bye-bye.